Let's turn to Headlong now. Mm-hmm. You've turned it very much into a new writing theatre company, as you said you would when you took over, what was it, a couple of years ago now?
Long that, four.
Four. Can you talk us through the sort of programme for next year? Let's start with Gulliver. You sound nervous.
There's still quite a lot of writing to go on that.
Well, that's you and Ben Power.
Yeah.
The team that brought us Faust, which equated or played off Marlowe's Faust with the Chapman brothers.
And his characters.
Well,
I really, really enjoy that work. What is the writing process? I mean, it's interesting, you know, Ben and I have fed in as much as we can to Lucy and the actors we work with. You know, I think it's very British, this idea that somehow plays are written by one person alone at a desk. I mean, they come together in lots of different ways. But I've really enjoyed the way that Ben and I have written our stuff, and I think, arguably, Faustus and Six Characters are the things I'm proudest of, actually. So after Six Characters, we thought, well, we must, it's very easy to get distracted by other work, we must do another show together. And, to a certain extent, we've done this intervention thing.
What is the attraction of Gulliver then?
Gulliver,
is it the person or the narrative, or?
Bizarrely, when I started out, loved after university, I went to the Donmar Warehouse as a trainee director, and those, I don't know what they do now, but in those days,
Sam was there.
One had to write a one-side sort of pitch for a show, and mine was an adaptation of Gulliver's Travels. I've been thinking on and off about it for 15 years, probably, but. I think what was the attraction? The attraction was, I really love the book. I think it's very profound. Clearly it's quite playful, and that felt theatrical. Inevitably the sense of scale and stuff is theatrical. We workshopped it about a year and a half ago with a few actors. And I think really it's what draws us to it is this issue of relativism. I mean, in Swift it's obvious that, you know, he's very big, they're very small, he's very small, they're very big.
But they fight wars about which side of the egg you put.
Exactly, yeah. But I suppose, you know, in a post-digital age or whatever, one's relative feeling of stature seems an interesting thing to explore, given how fragmented social experience is now, and it was an interesting prism for that. And then also we were kind of interested in a lot of so-called devised theatre, and God knows I'm guilty of it as well, but it's very easy for it to become a bit sentimental. It's invariably a sort of von Trier-like heroine in the heart of most of devised shows, what we felt was that the satire, the kind of
the
crude satire,
yeah,
sort of anthropomorphic and political, in the Swift could help us there and be an interesting sort of.
He's not averse to fart jokes.
Exactly.
And
I mean, our version is going to be fairly loose. It'll be what's been inspiration, I suppose, something like the Coen brothers, Oh Brother Where Art Thou, its relationship to the Odyssey will be close to what we'll be doing with them.
And you're also going to stage the Thrapney Opera in a new version by David Eldridge. Why that particular work?
Well, Brecht was, you know, Brecht felt it felt that under Dominic Drumgool's time, that the company here with the OSC,
Oxford Stage Company,
that Chekhov felt like their kind of animating mentor, as it were, mm-hmm. spiritual mentor. And I remember one of my interviews saying, "Oh, anyway, I think Brecht will be mine for the company." And certainly, I suppose Enron is in some sense a very Brechtian or kind of new form of Brecht. But Brecht's really, really tricky, and we haven't done a Brecht. What we try and do in every sort of little season of work is have at least one revival by a writer who we sort of very influential to us, informally as much as anything else. So it was Edward Bond in our first year, and Pirandello last time, and Brecht here, I suppose. And it's a great piece of Strapping Opera. It's quite expensive to do, so it's not done very often. I think the last one in London was the one at the Domar, actually, about 15 years ago.
That's right, yeah.
And David, he's got a touch of the geezer, in his writing, and he was up for it. You know, he seemed a good match, somebody who might understand urban and, the street in some sense.
And the contemporary, the idea.
Exactly,
of what
sort of
resonant.
I'm not quite sure what Lucien had actually come up with yet. I mean, it's still being written. Well, and also how much the Brecht estate will allow.
Exactly, that's another problem, but you've said it. Talking of difficult work, Salome by Oscar Wilde, virtually unstageable, practically unreadable, and what's
classic
happening?
Headline.
But why that one? I mean, is it because it's so rarely done?
No, I think I remember seeing the Berkhof one years ago when I was at school and thinking it really left an impression on me. And again, it's sort of formally very unusual. It's kind of extraordinary, and invites a strong response. You know, Mick Gordon's one with the very sort of stripped down one was a response. I'm sure Jamie will do something different. You know, there's a handful of titles maybe on our kind of we ought to do this at some point, and Jamie Lloyd, the director, responded to that one, and we'd really liked his work and thought, great, let's do it.
I remember at the Roundhouse ages and ages ago, a Lindsay Kemp version with clouds of incense, and I mean, you had to be stoned to enjoy it. It was brilliant, I must say. I hope this one, I wish it luck. And that's a co-production with The Curve in Leicester.
That's right, yeah.
Earthquakes in London, Mike Bartlett's new play. Can you talk me through that a bit?
So Mike, again, similar brief to the one we gave to Lucy, and he said, I'd like to write a big climate change play before, and there hadn't been any climate change plays at that point before Steve Waters' one. And he'd come up with this story based on fact about a guy who says, "Now, look, it's too late. There's no point doing anything. We're completely screwed. You know, hell in a handcart. You know."
Well, I sometimes feel like that.
Absolutely, stop worrying. You just enjoy the next 20 years. That's all we've got, and then it'll burn up.
Yeah.
And he's this real chap, actually. And then, so the play is partly based now, partly based 30 years in the '60s when he's a younger academic student, when there is still the hope. And then based in 30 years' time ahead in the future, looking at his children and trying. And I suppose it's it's looking at the problem, but also kind of bravely looking at a solution in a way. And it's a big, meaty play. It's great.
Mm. And it's got a great title, Earthquakes in London. Mm-hmm. And talking of great titles, we've also got Anthony Neilson, Orson Welles in The Land of the Peas, to which...
Well, that was a working title. I said, let's do that title. It's great. I mean, Anthony, he feels sort of family a bit now because we did a revival of his play at Edward Gant, last year, and he's actually Lucy's brother as well, so we've seen him around a bit. Mm-hmm. And he's obviously seen Lucy make so much money off Enron. Hopes he always put it that way, but he just, it was actually the first preview of Enron. I think he said, look, I've got this idea about a play about Orson Welles and these adverts he did in the '70s for frozen peas. And he's got hold of the outtakes of the director giving Orson Welles notes about how to do his line readings for this peas advert. And,
Sandemann Sherry or something as well.
Yes, he did, yeah.
It was just utterly unbelievable.
They're hilarious hearing Wells sort of puce with indignation about being told how to say RPs in Iceland. I don't know what it'll be like, you know, it's sort of a, it's going to have a great role and it'll be very funny.
And will he be directing his own work?
I think probably not. He said rarely he's going to finish a script and give it to someone else to direct, I think. But, you know, maybe he will, I don't know. But I think he said he wanted to approach it a slightly different way to the ones, and normally he sort of devises them in the room.
Exactly.
And, he claims he's going to deliver a finished script.
Well, we'll see. Thank you very much. Thank you, Ricky Gould.